Today we're going to share a story that's kind of based on what we're trying to get you to do. And we're kind of known in this area as emphasizing recovery, since we have such an outreach on Friday nights. I think we had over 230-something people here Friday night. We had three salvations. That's a yay God Amen. Moment, if you give it. But if you really think about it, we're all in need of recovery. Every one of us. And it's not about drugs. It's not about alcohol. It's about sin. It's about death. It's about destruction. And we all have those things in our minds. We all have some toxic thinking that needs to be dealt with. And there's only one way to do with that. There's only one way that you can really know God, and that's through His Word. Now, you can experience God. You can experience God in nature. You can experience God by creation. You can experience God so many ways. But you're not going to get to know God like you need to know God apart from His Word. One of the most precious gifts that God gave us is His Word. He gave it to us. And I said a while ago, you know, we talk a lot about recovery here. But, you know, it's possible to have been raised in church all your life and go through difficult things. And you know what you need when you go through difficulties? Even if you've been raised in church all your life, you know what you need to get you through that? You need the same word as if you had never been in church all your life. Well, how many of you know who this is? This is Tammy. Everybody say, hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
She's the quiet, you know, she's a twin. Now, her sister is a polar opposite of her. This is quiet, sweet Tammy. And Tanya, we're not going to say what Tanya is.
She is very sweet.
She is a sweetheart. But she is boisterous and, I mean, you know, they're kind of opposites in lots of ways. And but Tammy has gone through some things recently where she had to go, she was shaken all the way back to her roots. And she's going to share a little bit about her journey and how she overcame. And this is an example to you why we all need the same thing. We need the Word in our life.
Amen.
So take off, sister.
All right.
I'll interrupt you if I need to.
I'm glad to be here this morning.
Can you hear?
Good.
She needs to be up a little bit. Okay. We got some folks with hearing aids.
If you heard my sister Tanya's testimony, she actually gave up and stood up and shared. She shared how we grew up in a family of 10 children, and I'm the youngest. She and I are of 10 children, 8 girls and 2 boys, and our parents were 2 generations older than us. And unfortunately, my father attempted to sexually abuse all 8 of his daughters. But during puberty, I would stand up to him because I have my mother's tenacity. And I had some next door neighbors, older men, that would do the same thing, try to. And praise God, I would find strength to face that. But I had developed a fear of older men, and I was pretty shy. But you know, God saved me by His blood at the age of 5. My sister Tanya and I knelt down by the bedside with my mother, and she led us to Christ. And I would say that because of that woman, who is such an incredible example, that woman taught me what it meant to seek hungrily after God. And she was always on her knees, always on her knees. I would find her at her chair in the morning or every night before bedtime. She'd pray for everybody from the president on down. She just sought after God. And I wanted to do that too. And when I was a child, I would get on my bike and I rode all over Bethesda. And I would look for God, and I'd lay down and under the trees, and I'd just say, I want to know you. I want that wisdom that you have. I mean, you gave it to Solomon. He said you could have wisdom. Well, I want that too. And I sought after that as a kid my whole life. We were very sheltered. We had that perfect little bubble where we went to church every time the doors were open.
This church?
Yes, since I was about 9 years old. And went to this church, and I always was here, involved in all the activities, youth group. If we weren't in church, then we were at home in the evenings. Every evening we'd go through the Bible. We read through the whole Bible probably about 5 times before I left home. The family would read it out loud. We'd take turns reading and talk about it. So I had the Word put into me my whole life. And I also was in sheltered. My parents, we didn't hang out with boys. We didn't hang out with friends where we might be in a risky situation. But unfortunately, a man walked into my life at the age of 15, and he was 21 years older than me, 36-year-old man. And I fell for him, totally fell for him. He was this handsome cowboy, and my parents took him under their wing, kind of pulled him into the family and fed him meals, I fell in love with this man, and he pressured me to get married, and also pressured my father, and my father gave in, and I got married at 16 years old, and by pastor who tried to talk me out of it.
Listen to your pastor.
But I was 16 years old. I knew everything. I knew exactly what my life was supposed to be like at 16 years old. And he was a hard worker. He worked out in the oil fields. And for 30 years, we were married. But he was a man with multiple addictions. He had addictions for cigarettes, alcohol, lust, pornography, money, status. It was really important to him to have things. Came home one day and found an Audi car in the yard. I didn't go into a loan agreement, but apparently he did. And he did things like that a lot. I stayed at home for 17 years and raised our 4 incredible children, and I'm prejudiced, but they are the best children in the world. Sorry, I think you may think yours are, but mine aren't. And they are incredible children, and they're the joy and treasures of my heart. And I was primary caregiver of my mother, who was aging. And so for 30 years, I was just this busy mom, busy being a mom and teaching my kids and just distracted by life and yet in the middle of a very unhealthy relationship. And in those 30 years of marriage, we went through several failed businesses, his wealth chasing adventures, and we crawled out of debt, pit after pit. One time he built a pond on a credit card, $15,000, and we had Arabian horses, and he had to spend money on all these horses, and he had lost about $20,000 on that because you don't make money on horses. We also had a portable sawmill business. We went into debt and crawled out about $80,000 later. And then we were going to have a dial-up internet business, and we know where that went. About $50,000 lost into that. And then he wrote a fictional book, and because he wanted prestige, and about $20,000 went into that. So it was just this constant digging out of debt. And he worked offshore, and I most of the time stayed at home and raised our kids by myself. But in the 23rd year of marriage, I followed God's calling on my life to be a nurse, which is my inner nerd dream. I love that. And I found out in 2015 that he had been unfaithful to me, and just refused to apologize for it or make any excuses about what he was doing. And also he it just came to head. He was going to continue making his autonomous debt decisions, whether I cared about it or not. And I just was at this crossroads in my life. And I was like, I don't understand how you can work so hard, but sometimes persevere and work at the wrong thing in the wrong way. And so I found out that I was sacrificing my personal integrity. I was sacrificing my family's strength, my value of myself, because I was having to succumb to this person and his sins. And erroneously, I believed that I had to remain in this relationship no matter what. And I believed it because divorce was a picture of evil for me growing up. I mean, we were just very, in a lot of ways, religious. My parents loved the Lord, but there was religion involved instead of relationship in some ways, not with my mother as much, but certainly with my father. And that divorce is a big, ugly D word. You just don't say it. You don't. People who got divorced were messed up. They did something wrong. That was this image that I had to deal with. And when I found out that I had to come to this crossroads in my life, I just need to understand myself. I was so busy being a mom, I didn't understand what a healthy relationship looked like. And I wanted to learn more about myself, my sin, my weaknesses, my pride. Pride is a deadly sin. And in Galatians, it talks about being pleasers of men instead of pleasers of God. And when we do that, we're trying to lift up other people's standards of what we think that we should be to them, or how they think of us. And so we're constantly scrambling to please him instead of the standard, God, what he wants us to do, how we should please him living our lives. And also this perfectionism. I wanted to be perfect, or this need for approval and personal drive that I had, and this unhealthy helping relationship. And it was an attitude of codependency where I was continually bailing out, trying to cover up and try to fix something that I personally was involved in, but yet at the same time didn't have the control that I thought I had. So I learned a lot about myself, and because I'm a nurse and because I'm a nerd, I love to research. And so that's what I did. I started digging into about me. What was me? Why was I being so codependent? Why was I the way I was? I'd read the Bible. I knew what the Bible said about me, but I needed to know what God knew about me. And so I kind of share a little bit about codependency. It's, scientists or mental health professionals tell us that our personality, human personality, can be defined by an acronym, OCEAN. And if you take those letters, openness, conscientiousness, either extrovert or introvert, agreeableness, neuroticism, we all have some type of functioning scale for these personality traits. So we're either low functioning or high functioning on these personality traits. Well, I want to tell you what God tells us. We're either walking in the flesh or we're walking in the spirit. And the truth is yes, some of us may be more agreeable and we may be functioning low in an agreeable scale, or we may be not agreeable. We may be a taker. We may be doing things in our personality that God doesn't want us to do. But when we get back in the Word and he teaches us to walk in the Spirit, he teaches us how to be the full potential of our personality that we should be. And so I wanted to focus on myself. I knew that I was this agreeable person. And, I could either fluctuate from having this antagonism between myself, between my thoughts and my feelings. I could be trusting, I could be helpful, or I could have these cravings to be worrier or insecure. But you know, with God, He teaches us to walk in peace, and He teaches us to walk in faith if we study His Word and it comes alive in our hearts. So unfortunately, in a codependent relationship, you typically have someone who's this high giver, who wants to forgive all these broken promises or underperformance or accept excuses. And then a lot of times you have someone who's a taker, or who tends to be more self-centered, and they're constantly doing things that they do that are largely oblivious or indifferent to the other person. And so I discovered that that was definitely the relationship I was in. Even all those years, you think after 30 years marriage, I was not facing what I had. And so I was praying about it, and I thought, what do I do? What am I going to do? And I waffled back and forth, and God did something for me. I was at this crossroads, and I was driving. It was New Year's 2015. I was driving down the road visiting family in Alabama, and I heard this preacher on the radio. I don't remember who he was, but I remember what he said. And he said, everybody makes New Year's resolutions, but we're really bad about, like Pastor said, about keeping them, because it's a temporary thing. But instead, God wants to change us from the inside out. And so he said, instead of just making, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, or I'm going to have this resolution, he said, pick a word. Pick a word that you want God to make alive in you, to change you from the inside out. That just really resonated with me. I thought, that is really amazing. And of course, the first word that came to mind for me, and I believe God gave it to me, was the word forgiveness. And so for an entire year while I was reading the Bible, I looked for forgiveness through the Bible. I looked for how I needed to change. I needed to grow from that, what I needed to do in my heart. So I looked for that word forgiveness. And then last year, I did the same thing again. I focused on the word perseverance and what perseverance means. And it's incredible. The entire Bible has such a thread of beautiful teaching all the way through it, if you look for it. And when you read a Bible through the year, you can find that. And so that's what I did, the word perseverance. And about halfway through this, I thought, oh, I should journal this. And so I did, because I told you I was a nerd. But I would find scriptures about perseverance and about how it impacted me, and I would put that in a journal. And I started keeping a journal of these scriptures and these devotional thoughts that I read. And God changed me through that. He really gave me courage, and He gave me strength, and He gave me direction. And another thing that God, I made a decision to do, is I was very isolated. I was just this busy little person doing all these things, but I was isolated from believers and from those who could help me. And so I decided to face my sin and being codependent and this isolation. And there was a CR step study that was already full, and the women graciously allowed me in to it. And I spent last year in that step study, and it truly transformed my heart. I mean, the women in that group, they allowed me to be transparent, and I was safe. It stayed within the four walls of that step study. They helped me grow. They helped me spill out my frustration. They helped me open up. And God gave me such courage and such strength to come to a peaceful decision.
I noticed as you were sharing that, I could tell by looking out across the congregation who was in that step study, because they're beaming out there. Keyword, we got to go back and talk about this a minute, because this is a natural tendency when you're going through stuff. Isolation, One of the greatest tools that Satan has is isolation. If he can draw you off away from your tribe, away from your people, your family, I'm talking about your church family, if he can draw you away from that, he can lie to you. It's very difficult when you're connected to a group and you're sharing your heart and you're being transparent, you challenge or are being challenged by other people, that you have, there's this, you said the word, safe, a safe environment where you can thrive and grow and heal. There is a huge need for that. And so isolation is a horrible tool that the enemy has, because there's several reasons people isolate. They either get offended. It's either an internal struggle that they don't feel worthy of something. They feel ashamed, condemned, angry. And this is why forgiveness was such an important tool for her, because the decision that she was going to have to make could not be made in unforgiveness. See, God hates divorce. He does. He hates divorce. But sometimes divorce is a necessary thing, even though God hates it. And the reason that he hates it, because it doesn't matter which party you are in that relationship, it is devastating emotionally to you as a person, whether you're wanting the divorce or you're the object. I mean, whether you're not wanting the divorce, there's something that happens that is devastating. And it devastates families. You got in-laws. I mean, there's connections made through marriage that are so vital. And, you may have a problem with your spouse, but you may love your mother-in-law. She may love you. And so when that happens, it just causes chaos. And what it does to kids is devastating, especially young kids, even grown kids. It's devastating to them. And that's why God hates divorce. But you got to make this distinction. God hates divorce, but he doesn't hate those who have been through a divorce. Okay? We're not sharing this story so you can go out and get a divorce. This was a very, very hard decision for her. She came to me 2 or 3 years ago and she said, "Pastor, I got to make a decision. I can't go on like this. I'm thinking about this." And I said, I didn't say, "Get rid of the bum." One time in my ministry have I told somebody to get a divorce. One time in 40 years. One time I didn't tell her to get a divorce. I said, "I'm going to support you no matter what you choose to do." But this was her decision. And this had to be something that was between her and God. I was praying for restoration. That's what I was praying for. But when you got, a marriage is a covenant relationship between two people. God loves covenant relationships between two people. It's the only thing he blesses, okay? It's the only thing he blesses is the covenant relationship between a man and a woman. And but when one breaks that and continues to break that, that puts the other person in a decision mode that they have to make some hard decisions about that. It was not easy on her. She lost weight. Now she's healthy, now. But I saw a time where it wasn't healthy. And, I didn't have magic words. I didn't have magic words to tell her. But
yeah, the divorce diet is no good.
No. And that part is, it's not a good thing. But sometimes to survive, that's the decision that she had to come to. So we weren't trying to paint this image. You may think, "Well, work on your marriage.
That's right.
Do everything you can to save your marriage.
That's
everything within your power to save your marriage. Work through it. We quit too easy." She didn't quit easy. And this is a hard one. I know. I saw her make this decision. I prayed for her as she made this decision, and it was not a decision that she wanted to make, but...
Well, I also went to my kids because they're adults now, and I wanted to make sure that they could tell me their perspective. And I have peace because I know God gave me peace and to make a very difficult decision that I did not want to make. But I also want to encourage you in any relationships that we are in, we are and I tell this to my daughters all the time. I raised three daughters, and I said, you are the complete package. God made you this beautiful princess, this complete package, and you will be blessed, hopefully, one day to get to travel the same path with someone else who God also made the complete package. And together, you could be partners for life, and this would be a team that God would use to do His will together. But in the end, you are still the complete package. There isn't another person that makes you who you are. Only God does. And I encourage us to definitely tell our daughters that. Tell our children that. Because they can be codependent on another person, thinking that person is who they find their fulfillment in, or they find peace or comfort. God is the only one who gives us that. And I don't want to come across as speaking badly against my ex-husband, but I want to say that it takes an individual choice, and you cannot force someone else to walk a path. You can pray for them, you can support them, but they have to choose. And in the end, that's each of us. We're all going to be standing individually before God for our own lives and our own decisions.
We see so many people today, and I'm going to sound, I don't know what that word is, but this sounds prejudiced, but I see a lot of ladies that have to have a man in their life to feel complete. And I thank you for sharing that. You do not have to have anybody in your life to be complete.
That's right.
You're complete in Christ. And guys, the same thing. You know, we're designed to... man and woman, and I mean, we're most like God when we're making babies, creating, okay? Because He gave us that ability. And, you know, one does not have that capability within themselves. It's him and her, and then creation happens. And that's God's design. That's why He made us male and female. And God is not just He's not just a male. He had the female. He created the female part. He is that. But when He created man and woman, He put some attributes in man and some attributes in woman. Y'all laughing at me. Quit. And when we come together, we produce the greatest picture of what God is like. And that's the strength of a marriage. That's what God gave marriage, and that's the only thing that He blesses, the marriage, to bring glory to Him and to reflect who He is and what He's about. And so, but you don't have to have somebody else to make you a complete person. You got to be complete, because you don't have what you need to give until you're complete.
Amen.
And I've told a lot of people who are going through difficulties in relationship. They're immediately looking for another relationship when they don't have a heart to give. They don't have a complete person to give, because they're still dealing with the ravages of a broken relationship. And so this is why she's talking about taking a word like forgiveness. In order to move on, she had to be able to forgive. Okay? For her to heal, she had to forgive. Evidently, he did some bad things against her. But for her to move on, she had to forgive that, and to be able for her to heal. And that's so important that we get that. And persevere. I mean, she took these words, and she is drawn on this. And the word in her heart, this is a cool thing about the word. It's alive. The word of God is a living
Amen.
Thing. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. And the thing that it is, and we're all different. We are all different in personality and makeup and the way that we think. And, you know, men think sane and women think insane. No, that's not the way it is. But you know, we think differently, don't we? But that word in our heart goes right to what our need is, and it begins to unravel all of the crud. I'm not going to say crap. Jason says crap. I say crud. All of the crud in our... He said that three times last week. I watched him online. I can't go away But all of the crud that's in our heart, that word specifically, the same word that all of us get, it works in us differently. And that is such a neat thing. We've been given such a great gift by God. It's called His Word.
Amen.
And we need to hide that word in our heart, because that's the way that we're going to become what we were designed to be.
And that's what I learned. It's this never-ending well of truth. And, you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, he said that we don't yet see things clearly. And I love the Complete Jewish Bible. That's where I love how it speaks to me. But we don't see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright, and we'll see it all then, and see it as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us. And that's just so beautiful. We have to be able to see ourselves as He knows us. And who knows us more intimately or deeply than the one who created us?
And we find that through the Word. That Word.
And while I was studying through the Bible, I like to use the YouVersion highlighting feature in it. And when I'd come across scriptures about His promises, I'd highlight them pink. Or when I come across prophetic scriptures about Jesus, and who He fulfilled and how He fulfilled the Old Testament, I'd highlight those red. And because wisdom was something I was hungering after, when I come across scriptures that were gold nuggets of wisdom, I would highlight them blue. And I was just using this app to help me grow. And then, like I said, I journaled, and I would copy and put things in a journal. And I realized that this word perseverance, I had to understand what it meant and how to overcome any obstacles or difficulties, because God wants us to be victorious. And no matter what we're doing, our goal is to be victorious and to end this race victoriously. And one of the devotionals I read, Dr. David Jeremiah, he said, trials in the lives of believers refine their faith so that the false is stripped away and the genuine faith that continues to trust or have faith in God can develop victorious, positive endurance. And I love that because, you know, it's the trials, it's the things that we go through that purify and get rid of the impurities in our hearts. And we shouldn't be afraid to run from those trials. I'd been ignoring and running from those, and instead He wanted me to face those things. And one thing I'd like to read is Bill Hybels. He's has some great books. And one thing he said about perseverance that really impacted me, he said, we steward the only message on planet Earth that can give people what their hearts need most, which is hope. Hope that sins can be forgiven. Hope that prayers can be answered. Hope that doors of opportunity that seem locked can be opened. Hope that broken relationships can be reconciled. Hope that diseased bodies can be healed. Hope that damaged trust can be restored. Hope that dead churches will be resurrected. Of all people, we must claim that hope, live in it, and radiate it to others. We must proclaim the message of hope to everyone God gives us the opportunity to influence.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
You know, we are ambassadors of Christ in everything we do. My children watching me be a mother, I was an ambassador of Christ. He works through us. He reveals his word through us if we allow it. And the only way we can do that is if we study that word.
That's right. That is right. Now, we're going to wrap this up. But here's the thing I want you to see. More than anything else as a pastor, I want to see you succeed in your purpose. I want to see you become all that you can be in Christ. Individually, but corporately also. I want to see us come together as a church. If we're functioning in our purpose in life, what we were designed by God to be, God will do an amazing thing with this family right here. I mean, it'll be totally awesome. It's easy to sit on the sideline and be a spectator. And that's the easy thing to do. But the thing that you got to decide to do, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to put this word in my life. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit unravel my mess. I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to follow this. I'm going to invite God to just do a work in my heart. And you have to be persistent at that. You have to persevere at that. It don't happen. It's not like you just come up to the front and they lay hands on you, knock you on the floor, you get up and everything's okay. Sorry, don't work that way. Now, God can knock you on the floor and you can get up and everything. Good, a lot of things good can happen, but that's not God's way. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's hearing, it's meditating on, it's beginning to do and to experience. And that brings you around to another level of something that God is continuing to do. It's kind of like a circle that God works in your heart. And the Bible's like an onion. You know, it's just layered. And you understand it on the level that you are. But when you get to this level and you begin to understand that, He peels it off. And it's just like you start all over and you're learning something on another level. This is never ending. It's never ending. So don't read the Bible just so you can mark it off. Well, day one, mark. Day two, mark. Day 333, mark. Day 365, done. Nope, not done. Never done. This is a way of life. It's a way of living. And as we do that, God can do amazing things. You won't burn out. You just won't fade. I see too many people who have been Christians a long time that just kind of fade. We don't need to fade. I don't want to fade. Amen. Gene, I want to finish strong.
Amen.
I want to finish strong. I want to grow. I want to grow to the day I die. Glory to God. Thank you so much for the courage to share your story with us today. Wasn't that wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let's everybody stand up. Jason's going to come back in a minute and make an announcement, but we're going to worship one more time. I want you today, before you leave, one more time to experience the presence of God. Don't think about the pot roast at the house cooking. Don't think about going to Sakura's after church. I want you just for 5 minutes, for 4 minutes, I just want you to concentrate on God. Concentrate on something that the Holy Spirit said to you today.
And if perseverance is something that's important to you, there's a handout out there.
We got a handout. She's got 20 things about perseverance out there in the foyer, in the welcome center. You can pick that up after church. But allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as we sing this last song.